Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon and
Claudia.
We have a guest host with us tonight. Ramon's not with us, and we have Claudia Durr from Georgia, right?
Yep, from Georgia.
Let's see. We've got some interesting stuff going on the website. Ramon and I have been following these guys, Anonymous. I don't know if any of you guys have checked them out yet, but... they are doing some pretty amazing stuff right now in the world. They're getting mainstream media coverage, and they're making waves. So check them out. They are pretty interesting stuff. We've got some links on the website there. You can check them out. Let's see. We work on a donation basis, blah, blah, blah. If you've heard the show, you've heard this before, so I won't go into it. Claudia, who are you?
Who am I? You know what? I'm finding out more and more every day. I'm just another soul along on the journey. And it's been getting pretty fascinating, actually. Right now, I've been involved with Crystal's SOL project, offering astrology and numerology reports to help people understand how the vibration of the planets have an influence on their lives and what they've come here to do. And it's been a real interesting journey. For those of you who don't know, I'm also offering that now through Tom and through the 100th Monkey site as well. So please check it out. You'll find it to be some pretty interesting material.
Yeah, Ramon and I have a page on the site, if you haven't seen it yet, that has tarot and healing and now astrology. So I do tarot, and Ramon does remote healing, and now we have Claudia. So if you are in need of any of those services, pop on over. We will do what we can for you. And it is, we don't actually have a dollar sign next to anything. It's pay it forward, donate, do whatever you can. We just ask that in some form or fashion there's some energy exchange somewhere. So tonight on the show, we have somebody who has been really making waves in this field and has really been shining some light and is now starting to shine his light all over the world. He's on his way over here to North America here in a couple weeks. And I am excited about that because I am going to go see him over at the East SETI Ranch. So I'm not going to give him a big bio or anything because most of you guys that are listening to this show know exactly who George Kavassalis is, and I think he needs no better introduction than, hi, George, I am so happy to see you here.
Hello, Tom, and hello, Claudia, and I'm just so happy to be here with you guys. It's nice and relaxed and got a nice casual family atmosphere, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
Great. So, George, I wanted to start off the show with a question. And actually, one of our listeners sent me in to me. Chuck wants me to ask you, who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
I am George. I'm just an ordinary guy, and have come here from. There's due to our incarnational constructs, we actually have many energetic streams coming in to us each. And if you were to ask me, where do I come from on a galactic level, I will say the Sirius, the blue star of Sirius. I have an aspect in the Pleiades. I have an aspect in Orion. I have parts of me scattered all over the place, as we all do. And but the majority of my intention to be here comes from the Sirius system. So you can call me a Sirian being if you like, but that's just one aspect of me. And I come from the blue star itself. We're not a planet that revolves around the star, but the actual star itself. And it's a planet on a higher level. And from down here, it looks like a star because it's a body of light from the lower domain. So that's pretty much where I come from. Besides that, I've just had an ordinary life like everybody else.
Right.
On the way, I was born in Sydney and Australia, and just went to school and did all the usual things that kids do. But I really have had a life of extraordinary experiences that went along with that. So,
right.
I'm also on a much deeper lineage, you could say. I'm I'm part of a group that's been managing the project here in this galaxy and this solar system and this planet as well. So I'm one of the management crew, and there's many of us, and there's, you know, a few hundred thousand of us here, and we're all here trying to help and with this transition of humanity and Mother Earth. So that's a role that I'm playing, and that's pretty much why I'm getting up and speaking, because it's a sense of responsibility and obligation towards life.
Right. That's you picked up on, I think, the heart of the question that he wanted answered. So this management group, can you tell me any more about that? I mean, I'm assuming it's a form of a hierarchy or set up in, I don't know the word I'm looking for, different levels or different assignment type things, or are you following what I'm trying to get here?
Yeah. The way the creator of this universe functions is that we're already co-creating with the creator. So it's okay, let me put it this way. I'm just trying to find the best way to explain it. I'm just feeling into it. The fact is, and I'm saying the fact is because it's an absolute fact and truth, we are all planets, we are all stars, and we are all galaxies. And because each planet, each star, and each galaxy is its own individual consciousness, its own individual being. And out there, we're all galaxies. So we've already co-created, and we take responsibility. And each reality that gets created, whether it's a galaxy, a star, or a planet, there's also... you work with other beings. So you might be the main consciousness, but you work with other beings because you are co-creating. And all the people that want to incarnate into your reality and have a set of experiences and wisdom gained from those, there's many people that work together to make it happen on many different levels, because different beings specialize in different areas. So when the idea came for this galaxy to manifest herself, and the concept and why she would do that, and the intended, the reason behind her wanting to manifest herself as this galaxy, and the intention behind it, and the intended outcome, which was wanted to be achieved. There are many, many beings that volunteered. There are many, many beings who actually ridiculed and persecuted the concept and the idea. And I was one who... was really quite passionate about the concept behind manifesting this galaxy, and volunteered and wanted to play a significant role, and that's what I have done and continue to do so.
So this kind of, it doesn't quite mesh in with a lot of the other quote-unquote New Age things that are out there about the fall of, say, let's pop into the Judeo-Christian thing, the fall of the angels, Lucifer and the third of the host of heaven, et cetera, et cetera. And then now bringing it in closer to modern history, the call that went out from mankind out into the universe and all the different beings from throughout the universe that are converging here in response to that call.
Yeah, when it comes to the religious ideologies, there's because it's been, where do we start there, Tom? Don't get me started. It's really got to do with a group of what we could call a priestly caste, who are intergalactic, because this is an intergalactic cabal that we're referring to now, and they have done this in many systems throughout the cosmos. And it's all about creating paradigms of structures of dogmatic mindsets and paradigms of awareness for the purpose of control, to create paradigms of worship, and so their deities can feed off the masses. So that's a very, very important thing to understand there, that what's actually happening here. And so our so-called history has been twisted and manipulated with layer, and it's a twist on a twist on a twist on a twist, and that's why it's so difficult for people to actually grasp anything tangible But you know, if you want to,
George, George, can we kind of go back to your role a little bit more in regards to the it's this curious kind of word to use, a managerial role. Like, what are you managing? What is it that, what's your actual, what is it actually that you're managing?
Well, what I'm managing is helping to hold the integrity of this reality, understanding the beings that are facilitating this experience that we're all having, be it the consciousness of this earth and the consciousness of this solar system, and the many different agreements on soul levels that we have, and maintaining integrity, because there are a lot of beings that were allowed to come here to, because we contracted them to come here and impose upon us their infrastructures of control and limitation, and they've forgotten that original agreement because they've become addicted to this reality and addicted to the amount of energy they're feeding off us, and that, you know, they're using us as a resource and they're feeding off us, and that original agreement's been forgotten, and I'm here to remind them of that. I'm also here to provide a trigger for people to reawaken and help them become self-empowered. So that's what I'm here to do. They're the roles that I'm playing.
I think I get that at a different level now. It's like redirecting things, reminding them what the purpose or goal is. Is that your role?
Yeah, I'm just helping people to re-remember who we are, where we come from, and what we're actually here to do. And not only the human race, but also to remind our controllers who they are, who we are, and help them to remember what our original agreement with them was from a soul contract level. Because, like I said, they've totally forgotten. They've become addicted to this reality, and they've lost their way as well. So everybody's teaching everybody on all different levels with every interaction we have. So we're teaching the forces of darkness and limitation. Then there's forces of light and limitation, the positive white love and light energy, because that's a limited realm as well. And so everybody's teaching everybody. And then there's, you know, the true essence of love and light, which is beyond both of those paradigms. So you take the two sides of polarity and you integrate them into a state of oneness. And that love and light's different to the positive white love and light.
Right. So you said that the dark negative entities are feeding off of our energy. So
yeah,
how do we cut off that food source, and what is that function that within? Is it just raising our vibration or what?
No, it's actually that's part of it, but that raising of the vibration is actually an automatic byproduct. It happens naturally anyway. So you don't consciously have to think, I've got to raise my vibration, I've got to raise my vibration. It actually happens naturally and organically when you simply embrace your aspects within you and begin to integrate them. So, because what you're doing is you're taking two expressions of life and integrating them. So you're compressing, and through that compression, is the automatic byproduct is the raising of frequency. So, and that is by just going within oneself and beginning to live from the heart and allowing the greater aspect of yourself to actually guide you. So when we live and function from our intuitive heart level, our egos are now not functioning purely from the mind and the mind matrix. It's actually the ego is now being absorbed by the greater being, and the ego now works in conjunction with the greater being, and you work together. And so the flow of where and what we do and how we go about things now comes from the heart rather than from the mind, and from the mind matrix, influences from the matrix.
Redirecting of our energy then, the redirection of our energy to consciously pursuing this growth and this connection is basically taking control of the energy in yourself and not allowing it to be consumed by this negative force?
Yeah, and not just negative, but also positive force. Because we're talking about the two sides, the scales, you know, of life. So we're talking about right. Duality. So you've got one side of the scales, you've got negative charge and dark and forces of limitation there. And on the positive side of the scales, you've got positive white, love and light forces of limitation there. So, you know, both sides, you've got to understand the alter egos of one another. And the issue with the positive white, love and light, which is flooding into this reality now, is that they see themselves above and beyond the negative, dark and forces of limitation, but they're not. They're just across. They're the alter ego. So what I'm trying to say to people is, you know, because we've been plunged in such a negative charge for so long, just because positive white love and light comes along, you know, people are taking to it like a child to candy. And I'm trying to get people to understand, to remove themselves of that kind of drama and arena and say, hey, you know, there's more than that. And if you actually integrate the two together, you go to a love and light, which is beyond that paradigm, outside of that arena of just the dark versus the light business. And it's far more empowering when you can do that. So I say to people, go within yourself and start getting the truth from there. And I know that's a cliche, but to really actually live it, to go about it, is to begin to trust your deep intuitive feelings. I mean, we get them throughout our day, every day, but most of us just flop them off. We just don't give them the credence and the credit that we should be, because they're so subtle. But you know that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I knew I should have done that. Well, you did know,
right.
But you didn't make that choice to follow that, because you gave your power away to something that was influencing you outside of you. Or in the mind. And and what I'm saying is, when you have that really deep sense of knowing, follow that more often, and it's soft and it's gentle and it's deep and it's graceful, you follow that, then you live by that more often, and then you just you totally change the way you are as a being, and you begin to flow, because the energy that comes from within you is infinite, it's eternal, so you never run out of it, it goes forever. And you just become so empowered. You get back in touch with that part of you that is the part of you that made the decision for you to incarnate here. So, you know, you're getting back in touch with a part of you that's the composer, the orchestrator and the conductor of this life that you're having here.
The middle path.
The middle path, that's it.
Yeah.
I really resonated with what you just said, George, because it is like a whisper, isn't it? And
yeah.
And very recently, I've been having that experience that, you know, at one point in time in my life, I was thinking, you know, waiting for that big, big shock, that big knowing, that big thing. And lately, it's all been flooding in, but it's like a whisper. And I realized before that I just wasn't really listening, that it was really there all the time when I look back. So I really resonated with what you just said. And yeah. Also the aspect of both sides of the equation is very much like astrology, in that many of the older astrologers feel that an opposition is, oh, that's not really a very good thing, because you've got this energy on this side pulling you over here and this energy on the other side pulling you in the exact opposite direction. But that's really a very fortunate thing, because it forces you, it's such a strong pull, it forces you to see both sides. And there isn't a right and a wrong in that. It's being
hey,
able
Claudia.
To experience both of those sides.
Claudia, you're breaking up pretty good. You want to check your connections, maybe?
Yeah, and it's those two opposing forces are the, you know, that's the structure of these areas in the universe that we chose to explore. And it's the challenge that provides the push-pull sort of energy, and it's about working with that energy and moving through your experiences. Because if you live in denial, if you wrap yourself up in cotton wool and you just sit and you don't do anything in life, you never learn anything. This whole reality was created to provide the challenges for people. People learn more here than anywhere else in the universe. It is the most intense learning reality and paradigm that exists in our universe, this galaxy. And it's phenomenal. It's really, really intense. And a lot of people end up falling victim to these ideologies that are going around the planet, and what they do is they build a resentment towards their very existence here. And it's really sad because they're missing out on a wonderful opportunity to, you know, to learn greatly. And sure, that was their sole journey, was always going to be that, and that they were going to, you know, find out just what they could have done and didn't end up doing. And so they will choose to go somewhere, you know, in the future on another planetary body that's been set up like this one. But, you know, looking at it from within the drama here on this level, it is a shame that these people are, you know, people come to this world and they spend the whole time just trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, hello, but you chose to come here and now you just want to leave. Or everybody says this is just a dream, it's just an illusion, it's not really real. It's just a holograph, and that's just the biggest cop-out going around. I mean, if people were to understand the consciousness of this planet and the solar system and the galaxy and the amount of people, the amount of work that's gone into creating this reality and what's actually being achieved here, you know, this is just... statements like that are made from people who are just fearful, are fearful of actually... you know, having what it takes, having the fortitude to actually get in here and move through their experiences and actually learn from them. And, you know, people are just so fearful. They're being turned against their own very own decision to actually want to be here. It's quite sad.
Yeah, that brainwashing from day one. I mean, in the Judeo-Christian paradigm, yeah, I mean, you're born in original sin. I mean, right off the bat, you've got a strike against you, you know. So, and then we have our wonderful public school system that teaches you not to be creative. Yeah. So, yeah, and don't get me going on the media. Oh my.
there definitely are a lot of challenges that are put before us to have to overcome. I can see why they might say this is one of the most difficult places to be.
Yeah, it is, and
it's
a great place, though, too. It's a wonderful place. I mean, there's nowhere else is the diversity of life than what we have here. This is the microcosm of the macrocosm. And, you know, if you understand the way an incarnational experience is constructed, then, you know, you can imagine just how intimate a relationship we actually all have with the consciousness of this planet. We're walking on her body, you know. We're breathing her atmosphere. We're drinking her water and eating her food. And, you know, we're immersed in her magnetic chamber in her ethereal templates. I mean, the relationship we have with her is so deeply intimate.
We are her body. I mean, our physical bodies are comprised of her.
Yeah. I mean, and yet people walk around and they have no clue about her. They don't even know she's a living being.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
forgotten. And I find that really quite sad. And there's so many programs and systems that are designed to create that drive that wedge between a person existing here and the very being that they're incarnate upon. I mean, they just it's all about disconnect.
Well, you know, I have seen in the last few years that there are people like you and so many others that are out there trying to reconnect.
Mm.
So, you know, I see really good things happening. So, I am
it
very...
It is. Well, Big Mama's about to give birth to a new way of life. See, we're about to achieve that intended outcome.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. And there's many, many, many who will achieve that. More than people realize, and I think it's a wonderful thing. It's just the drama's pretty, at the moment, seems to be getting all the attention, and we've just still got to work through a bit more of it. But eventually, we're going to work through it, and we're going to achieve that intended outcome. And you know, because this is something that's been organized from a much higher level in the universe, and you know, it's unstoppable. It's just that people there's different beings and races and paradigms of awareness and beings that come from these paradigms that are here. Implementing their infrastructures and their agendas, and you know they've got different ideas about what they think is going to happen, but I think they're all in for quite a rude shock, Tom.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's going to intensify then as well? And is there a reason in the original plan as to why everything would culminate now to this point? I do too feel like we're on the cusp, and there is this big separation where there's there's an immense amount of strife and energy, you know, the new wars, the crash of the dollar, the media that Tom just mentioned, that we're getting this barrage of fear and things. Is there a reason in the original plan for that intensity to be happening now?
Yes, there is. It's a really good question. I like the way you laid out the question. It very much is. We wanted this. We all wanted it. Everything that's happening to us, everything that's happening to the whole planet and humanity, is happening because we wanted it to happen. That's the biggest point to get, because that's what gets you out of victimhood. So if you realize that everything you experience in your life is because you orchestrated it, and we will role play for one another, then people can stop playing the victim and stop playing the blame game and actually take responsibility for their experiences, for their lives. It's so empowering to do that. Now, it's all part of a much greater plan, because what I recommend people is to try to remember what our original intention is, not just as individuals, but as a group. If you look at it from the point of view of the group human soul, the collective human soul, and why we wanted to have collectively such a wonderful experience with this planet, with this solar system, with this galaxy, and what we intended to achieve by creating this reality together, by agreeing to come here together, and especially at this time, is because we wanted to create... We've been on the road to compression for a very long time. This is about... where do I begin with this? We entered this universe. This universe, the construct of this universe is light. Now, we wanted to learn everything there is about this expression we call light. So a part of us entered this universe and has explored this universe. I have explored everything that this universe has to offer. Everything there is to do with light, I've explored. And there's many, many people on this planet who have done exactly the same thing, and we are about to graduate. Now, in order for us to graduate, because of the nature of light being a dualistic expression, whether you want to call it vibration or sound or light, it's up to you, but it all means the same thing. It's a waveform universe. Then we needed to be tested to see if we've got what it takes to actually get through. And so this is graduation time, looking at it from a universal scale now. This is graduation time. So all of us who are here finally achieving balance in our souls, then we have now got being thrust upon us the best that this universe has to offer in the way of deception, in the way of people coming, beings and large hierarchical structures imposing and implementing their game plans in order to try and lure us and lure as many people off the planet and away from their intended outcome. Because if you do get lured by one of the paths or avenues that are up for offer, and you don't hold your integrity, you don't stay with Mother Earth, you don't see it through with Mother Earth, then you're not ready. You're not ready to become a creator of love and light. So for me, it's really, really important to go within oneself, to hold that integrity, to understand who and what we are, to remember that, and to stay with Mother Earth, because when a life is birthed, it's birthed through the womb of a mother. You're not born or reborn, to use or born again, to use a Christian term, by a male deity coming and taking you off planet to another reality, a so-called reality which could be labeled divine light, but is just a synthetic light construct. So that is not how one is born into a higher state of being. So life here in this universe is birthed through the womb of a mother.
Now, I kind of see all these challenges that we're hitting right now. Oh, geez. As you were talking about that, I saw a parable of the video games that are out today. The final stage at all these video games, you always have that big monster right at the end to kill before you win the game. So I kind of see, like, okay, well, I don't know why that parable that flashed into my mind. It's like, okay, we're being hit right now with all these tremendous challenges in the world. Both, you know, the the economy, the wars, the hunger, the geological changes, I can go on and on and on and list off all these different challenges that we're faced with right now. So I saw that, okay, well, this is quite the quite a reflection of what the kids are seeing in their video games.
It's amazing the metaphors that are around us. Look at all the movies, the themes. I mean, you know, even the concept that you know, the night is the darkest just before dawn. It's just amazing. It's everywhere. The metaphor of our journey collectively as a whole, it's all around us. It's constant. And, yeah, it is. It reaches a crescendo. The intensity reaches its maximum just before, we achieve our intended outcome. So things are about to get really intense. I say to people that be careful, because there's another big global event about to occur. It's not far away. It's been brewing for some time. And due to the amount our consciousness is accelerating now, they've had to sort of like let go of certain plans that they wanted to implement, and they're going to pull out the big guns really soon. So if there's something I can prepare people with, is that 9/11 is going to look like a baby compared to what's coming, and it'll be another global mind control event like 9/11 attempted to be but didn't quite get there. And they need to put humanity deeper into a trance, because everybody's waking up too fast, and they've got to create an event that's going to match our level of awareness, so they can then grab that. You know, this is a battle for our attention and our awareness, and they want to grab everybody's attention and therefore control people's level of awareness through that, and make sure that they can then steer humanity in a particular direction. So I say to people, be prepared, whether it's a fake alien invasion, or whether it's a deity turning up, or whether it's Comet Elenin, or a red dwarf star appearing, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be huge. And I say to people, just be prepared that, you know, if you're going to sit there and just stare at your TV screen and just believe what you're being fed through it, through the media, then good luck with that. I wish you well. But there's people like ourselves who are going to, you know, take a peek at what they're trying to say and look at it from a very, very, I would say, discerning level of awareness. And I'd say be careful what you choose to believe as to what you're going to see very soon.
I've been pushing loving detachment quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because you've got me, I'm a mother and I've given birth, so... you got me stuck on the birthing metaphor. And the first thing that came to my mind is, when you're going through birthing pains, they try to distract you from that pain. Mm. And that's what these distractions reminded me of, was going through that process and taking your mind off of this birth that you talked about was going to be happening. There was something though too that you had said about giving birth to this light. And you also mentioned something about the synthetic light.
Yeah, synthetic light constructs.
Mm. Is that what you were talking about in reference to? I think we had one of our a question from a listener, M, who had asked to be able to understand more about this false light that she's heard you talk about in other interviews. Can you expand on the concept of the false light?
Yeah, absolutely. You see, if you look at how people on the planet here are creating light bodies using the Merkaba template, and that is unfortunate from my point of view, and I'll explain why. And you see, there's light. Our light bodies are naturally occurring. They're organic consciousness. They're a part of the universe. So we already have them. If you want to create one using a Merkaba template, then you're creating a light body via a mathematical template. And then if you do that, you're creating a synthetic light construct. Because sacred geometry is a language that is used to help define and describe and define the, and understand, help people understand the construct of life. But if you're going to now begin to create life via mathematical construct and templates, then you're crossing the line into the realm and the zone of synthetic constructs. And I know this because I've done it in previous lifetimes, but I've also done it throughout my cosmic aspects as well. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to those sort of things. And people just need to feel into those aspects of themselves and they'll remember what it is that I'm saying. So it's very, very important to understand the difference between that and an organic light construct. So there's a whole lot of beings out there. I mean, if people are doing this all over the world, and they are now. You can imagine through eons and eons of evolution what beings are capable of out there in the universe, especially in the 4D cosmic mind construct of the universe. So we've got beings out there that are creating synthetic light constructs, and over eons and eons of evolution, they have grown bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where they now start indoctrinating and assimilating whole races, star systems, and even galaxies have now been assimilated into these paradigms of light that these beings have created. And some of them are so huge, when you're inside one of these paradigms of light, you actually think you're inside a universal paradigm. That's how big they are. And these beings who began these synthetic light constructs a very, very long time ago in our universe have now sit at the top of these constructs. They play God because they are the creators of those paradigms, right? So technically speaking, when a being is inside one and they connect to the foundational construct of their paradigm, they think they're connecting to God, you see? It's very clever. Go on, Claudia.
This really, I hate to interrupt you, but it really brings about something that I've been trying to put together myself and a lot of different information, but it's like alchemy and the hidden and a lot of knowledge and things that have been hidden from us on Earth that are coming out now. Mm. And in regards to the sacred geometry. And now I think I'm getting that it was originally meant as a tool so that you could understand it as a concept, because our language is so limiting. And so we use myth and legend and lore and various different tools to help us to understand the aspect of creation. Am I getting this right? And then what's happened is the reason why it's been hidden in all this mythology and mysticism, and the initiate wouldn't know it until they actually could understand it. And knowledge was separated, was so that it could no longer be abused. Is that right?
Yeah, because we've been on the path of descent for such a long time. We've been on the path of devolution for over 100,000 years. It's been a very, very long journey. So, it was very much a part of that, and it's understanding that people's minds are set up in different ways because, you know, it depends which paradigm you've incarnated from, okay? So what race are you incarnated from? So where did you come from to be here? So there's different beings here that have different they function differently, okay? So there are beings that are very mechanically minded, and so they therefore... for them to have more the artistic flow of language as we know it, literature, they don't quite grasp the concepts very well. So there's another language that exists in the universe, and it's called mathematics and or numbers. And it's still a language. But it's a quantifiable language. It's for those people who... and those peoples in the cosmos who understand life from a more mechanical point of view, and they need quantifiable concepts, more things that are more accurately quantifiable. So that's for those people with those kind of mindsets and those kind of an awareness that operates and functions from that type of construct. Mathematics is a wonderful way for people to, it helps them to understand life. But, you know, mathematics is, again, it's a language. It's when you start manufacturing life from mathematical constructs, that is when you are now crossing the line and creating synthetic life. So, because you can look at something, let's say you could look at your house, for example. Your house is your house, right? And you can look at the wall and you can say, you can go up to a rock, for example, or a tree. Let's use a tree for an example, a naturally just occurring tree. Okay, you look at this tree and you go, okay, so you can measure the height of that tree. You can use millimeters, you can use inches, you can use whatever set of numbers you like. But that tree will always be that tree. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You can apply whatever set of numbers you want, but numbers are a language. You know, look at it this way. Numbers are a label. Okay, right. Do you get it? Numbers are actually a label. It's a way of labeling life. It's a interface construct, a language construct, which allows a person's awareness to interface with the reality they're perceiving and to decode it and to understand it that specific way.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't meant to interfere with creation.
No, if people use math to manufacture life, then they are creating synthetic life constructs.
So you can't do both, though? I mean, you couldn't. I'm going back to the Merkaba thing. Now, say you construct your Merkaba light body or the Merkaba craft or whatever, however it's termed. That wouldn't omit you from going back to the center path.
Well, it's like this. I have a light body. It's there. It's inside of me. I don't have to construct another one. All I got to do is merge with a greater aspect of myself, and which I have done in this lifetime with my consciousness. And I've traveled this universe. I've traveled throughout the cosmos using this light body. It's already there and it's organic. But if you sit here and from the point of your lower ego, now want to create a light body, and then you step into that light body, you are creating a synthetic light body. And that is a fourth dimensional construct. You will not breach the void that's between the fourth and the fifth dimension with that light body. And that's the point I'm trying to make, because there's, when I talk about these synthetic light constructs, they will feel like, you know, you can get taken into one of these and you will feel so euphoric. You think you're with God. But that's only because we've been in such a negative charge for so long. And people don't have that point of reference of that even greater light that's the one that I've spoken about.
Right. But the thing I'm trying to get at here is, would not there be beings that can interact with somebody within a Merkaba that could teach them through that Merkaba that the light body is already there, that the Merkaba is not a necessary tool that they need to do for this ascension? Could the Merkaba be a teaching tool, a learning tool for somebody to understand deeper concepts and deeper meaning and take them to a point where they would go back to reaching for and pursuing the natural light body?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I've done Reiki 1 and 2, and, you know, all these concepts are stepping stones. It's just when people make it the whole that's when they get trapped within those paradigms. So all these, because, I mean, there's no such thing as healers in the fifth dimension in my model of the universe, because nothing needs healing. Do you know what I mean? Right. Everything's in sync. So, all these things are 4D concepts.
So it would be more of a mechanical structure that would be created that would need care and feeding instead of having a life of its own?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's where the whole false godhead then comes in, that has to then take care of that false construct that got created.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
that's so wonderfully put, Claudia.
So that's the difference between, now I get it.
Right.
I have to tell you, George, I've listened to a lot of your talks and I'm like, why didn't they ask this? Because I don't get that. You know,
it always comes down to asking the right questions, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does, because now I'm really getting it. Oh God, I'm really getting it. This is amazing. This is really amazing, because I was so
good,
hung up
juicy
on
stuff.
That.
Oh,
it is really good, juicy stuff, because it's like, oh, I really get it. Wow.
Yeah.
I got that. That's the difference between the organic and the other thing, because that's the thing that I always felt that was like the beauty of at least my version of the universe was the fact that life is never ending, and the whole microcosm and macrocosm of things, that it becomes self-perpetuating. Mm-hmm. There's not really a need for somebody to direct it, because it has a life of its own that can create, I believe, wondrous and magnificent things if we just understood how to do that. I believe it's there. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, so how much work do you think a tree has to do to grow?
Right.
None. All it has to do is just be.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's all we need to do. We just need to be. Just be. That's the most beautiful statement ever, I feel. One off. Yep. And that's what I say to people, just be authentic, just be you. That's all you need to do. You don't need to become a monk. You don't need to do this course or that course in order to ascend. If you feel you need to do a course and you're following your intuitive heart, then that's the experience you need. But it's not good for me to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I say to people, keeping it simple and just follow your intuitive heart, because we're all on our individual soul journeys. So what's good for me is not necessarily good for you. And people just need to realize that the moment they follow their intuitive heart, then what they're doing is they're being themselves, and they're being authentic then, and they're being real, and they're keeping it simple. And because then when that intention flows from the greater aspect of themselves, that part that is, you know, like I said, the composer and the orchestrator and the conductor of the lives that we're having, that higher aspect of self is actually one with the creator, one with the all. And we then begin to flow in this natural unfoldment. You know, that's the switch from universal law, L-A-W, to universal law, L-O-R-E. There's a massive difference between those two constructs. And I've gone from L-A-W, and I've now gone into L-O-R-E, where everything just unfolds naturally. And L-A-W is a synthetic authoritarian overlay over the natural order of things. You know, that's not a good place to be, because that's where fear resides, that's where control resides, that's where all our insecurities are. So you move away from that, then you walk a sacred path, and it's just a wonderful place to be.
Right. So, you know, there is just, we were talking about the technology, the spiritual technology that's coming out now. There's so much being uncovered and unveiled now as far as practices and methods, and then there's things that are being remembered from different people that are putting out practices and different techniques to reach different states. I think people need to be very cautious with what they delve into, because there is some stuff out there that, I mean, if you look at this explanation of the Merkaba and the synthetic construct of it, there's so much different stuff out there that can be detrimental. It can take you down that dead-end road and can really do some damage.
Well, that's the whole point, too, is that, you know, we talk about these, you know, talk about these paradigms of awareness and these realities, and they're huge. I mean, like I said, that some of them are, the experience you have is like the universal in the magnitude of them in size, excuse me. And you got a lot of beings who are the heads of these paradigms who want to lure as many people into their paradigms as they possibly can, because who and what we are genetically, and because we can get access to more life force than any other race in the universe because of our genetics and who we actually are. And so for them to have a human, Earth human, worshipping them I mean, they get fed more power than they've ever been fed. I mean, these paradigms are as big as they are because beings continue, they feed off other beings, the intentions of other beings, you know, because according to your level of awareness will then will be where your intentions are. Well, what your intention and what you manifest, you know, on this level of life. So now I'm looking at it from within the drama now. So, you know, it's very, very important to understand that there's so many programs on offer because all those beings have come here now and they're selling their versions of ascension. I mean, there's so many.
Right.
And it'll get, for me, the creme de la creme will be these deities that come along and just pull people out of their bodies, their astral bodies, and take them to their divine light. And, you know, because you come across so many beings calling their light the divine light and universal light and, you know, and you got to be careful of that because any being can call anything they want. And to me, it's all about the flavor of the vibration, what that energy feels like, and it's also the behavior of the beings and it's also the content. Because there's a whole lot of beings out there that want you to meditate and use their energy to do it for you, and that for me is very dangerous.
Right.
So now, why don't they have the same ability? What you said it had something to do with our DNA. I mean, what makes us so unique that they too, as obviously, I'm surmising here, they have they're part of creation as well. So why don't they have the same ability and this light and energy from the universe that we have?
Because the fourth dimensional cosmic arena, which is the biggest in physical size in this universe, is so big. It has so many layers in it that they are inside this arena and they're caught up inside paradigms within this arena. And so it's important to understand that these are incarnational experiences as well. But they're incarnated into star systems and into paradigms of reality on a fourth dimensional cosmic level. And so their level of awareness is also limited. Even though comparative to our current level of awareness, you could say that they are really connected with life. They have amazing technologies and their level of consciousness is so much greater than us. They're so more advanced. And that's not the case. You know, you get... let me put it like this. You've got the earthly veil and you've got the matrix here and the ruling elite and all that sort of business and level of control. Well, once you get past that, there's also the cosmic matrix, which people are not being told enough about. And so you've got a whole lot of ET races that are caught up in these paradigms of awareness that I speak of, and their level of awareness of life is actually quite limited. Even though, like I said, relative to our current one, it seems like they're free. But it's not. And if I can use an analogy, it's like this. You've got on this planet, because, you know, a great man once said, as above, so below. And he really meant it literally. And so let's say on this planet you've got a small nation and they've been living isolated under the rule of a dictator. And the good guys along on this planet come along from the United Nations and they say to these people, hey, how about we get rid of this dictator for you? We're working really hard behind the scenes. We're going to get rid of this dictator so you can be free and liberated. Well, those people are just like, oh, yes, please. And so these outside forces come along and get rid of that dictator. Now, they have new peoples that are now being chosen to be the representatives, and they go to the United Nations, and they now stand in the United Nations so proud that their country is now totally free. Right? Or are they? And they now stand in the United Nations and they now have been indoctrinated and welcomed into the United Nations. And now these people think they're free. But are they? No, they're not free. To live under the United Nations is not freedom. That's just a much higher, grander, and more sophisticated level of control than what they had before. And so this is what I'm here to tell humanity, my human family, is that we have the same thing happening, but on a cosmic level. So you have this so-called Galactic Federation of Light, this Federation of Free Worlds, and all these other different constructs out there that have come to this planet and say, Let us mentor you. Let us welcome you into our galactic community. Here's some fantastic technology. We'll help you clean the planet up. We'll get rid of your diseases and what have you. But I ask people to really dig deep and feel into their deep hearts. Do you really think that you're going to be free?
You're just trading masters.
You know, we're just going from a tiny arena of control to a massive cosmic arena of control. Right. Just because your playground expands so massively and you have new toys to play with doesn't mean you're free, you know. And I'm trying to get people to understand that this universe is a very big place and there is actually a cosmic matrix which you need to move beyond with your awareness
right.
as well.
Okay, well, we're reaching the top of the hour, George. I know you're coming here to the – I know it went quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
You're coming over here to North America, and you want to put out the information where people can get a hold of your – get on your website and get a hold of tickets to the, three locations here in the U.S. and one in Canada. Is that still correct?
Two in Canada, one on Vancouver Island, one in Vancouver itself, and then we pop down to a city. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be loads of fun. And then we're heading over to Chicago and Boston. So very excited, yeah. And they can get all the information to these events on our website, our-journey-home.com. And also there's an actual US event page, which is ourjourneyhomeusa.com.
Great. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening to this first hour on BBS, and stay tuned for Brooks's show right after this, and then pop over to the archives and listen to the second hour with George. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and we love you guys.
Bumper music is by Christopher of the Wolves from the Samadhi album. You can get a hold of his material at transvision.com. That's transvision.com.